Welcome to Face Your Faith with West Kenyon. It is our hope that today's study will encourage you to grow deeply in your relationship with God as we study the Word together. Now let's join West for today's study.
On this podcast, we are going to look at underrated blessings. And all day long, we are receiving blessing after blessing from the Lord. But so often, we don't even notice all the blessings that are handed to us. Many of the blessings we are handed by God are not even recognized as blessings. And for many of us, the things that are indeed blessings have turned into expectations. We often only recognize blessings when it is something big or exciting. The things we desire, whether it is something we have been desiring or something good we did not expect. And those are the easy blessings and the blessings that stand out, which is why we see them and say they are blessings. And those are the easy blessings and the blessings that stand out, which is why we see them and say they are blessings. These big blessings are generally the ones we tell everyone about and are excited to be the recipient of, and the ones that keep us overjoyed to have God on our side. But what about all the tiny blessings that fill our days that we don't acknowledge? Those blessings that are too insignificant to rate on a scale of 1 to 10. And just what are some of those tiny blessings? Underrated blessings we skip over or expect to have come our way? Well, there are millions throughout our lifetime, but to name a very few, having a bed to sleep in, a roof over our head, air conditioning, a car, clothing, a job, just one friend, and the fact that you might be able to just get out of bed under your own strength, even if it's not easy, but God blessed you regardless with your own strength. The fact you can just flip a switch and have light, turn a knob and have an infinite mixture of water temperatures, and you get the drift. But what about this very underrated blessing? Your salvation. The blessing that if you have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, that permanently seals you in the Lamb's Book of Life and is a guarantee you will have a place in heaven with Christ and God for eternity in perfection. And many of us like to know where we are going. We love to plan things out. We like to have a destination in mind, an end goal. We work so hard to plan the future and so often determine our end goal, even though knowing the end goal is impossible to determine in the first place. So we end up striving for the impossible while all along ignoring the possible. We want what we want and can't have it and don't appreciate what we already have. But what are blessings outside of what appears to be good things coming our way from God? And the term blessings seems to be used in a number of different ways in God's Word, and this is all something we as believers should be very familiar with. And this is a great place to dig into God's Word and look at all the many blessings that we are either already experiencing or the many blessings we are not receiving because we are not open to them or perhaps not ready for. Important to note before we move on, the definition of a blessing is described as a divine favor and an act of protection, asking God to look favorably on something. Let's look at a great example of a very well-known blessing. Many of us will know Numbers 6:24 through 26. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. This is often used as a benediction, the final words of a church service, the words that are used to give each of us a charge as we go out. It is a time we ask God to bless us in our new week. It is, in fact, to give us a goal and ask God to be with us in all that we do and say. Is this how you hear these final words, however, at the end of a service before we get up and start chatting about what we are going to do for the rest of the day or week? Are you aware these final words are just as much a part of the whole of our service as the prayers and singing and teaching? I've mentioned this many times, but it's worth mentioning again. At least as it pertains to Four Peaks Christian Church, there is no part of our order of worship that is fluff or filler to sound or appear religious or holy. Everything we do is to help us define our reverence and awe of the one true God we come to worship and celebrate. Isn't it a blessing that we can come and celebrate and worship together the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? When was the last time you considered being in fellowship with your brothers and sisters in Christ as being a blessing? Already we are hopefully seeing some blessings that we might be oblivious to, blessings that we are missing out on, and all because they are common and expected. So how numb are we to blessings? Keep in mind, blessings come in many shapes and sizes and are given to us by God regularly. And some ideas of blessings are harder to grasp than others. So far, the ones we have looked at are very easy to accept and understand generally. But what about the blessings that are challenging? Oh, they're still great blessings, but are difficult to handle when we are not prepared. I need to also point out before we go further, our blessing from Numbers 6:24-26 that we just read is not something we offer from ourselves. By no means, because I say it at the end of a service, is it magically holy and something that will shroud you in a layer of protection. Let's reread it one more time to make sure we understand how this works. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. This is all about petitioning God on our behalf. We are asking God to bless us and keep us secure in Him. We are then asking God to look on us with His perfect favor and continue to extend His grace to us and to show us the fullness of Himself. And through that, we may experience deep peace. This indeed is a call from us to God to do something for us that only God can do. Again, me saying this to you does not make it special in any way, other than I sincerely mean the words I am saying and very much desire this to be what God grants each of us. But now let's look at this next form of blessing we are very aware of, Romans 12:14. Bless those who persecute you. Bless. Do not curse them. Now that's painful. You see, we started off easy. We started off by looking at types of blessings that are handed to us from God. You know, all the good things we just forget about because they are so prevalent in our lives. The blessings of peace and joy and hope and love and gifts. But now our passage from Romans suddenly turned the table on us, and we see here we are also to bless individuals who persecute us. And to keep things very clear, persecution is described as oppression, abuse, discrimination, to name a few. And we don't like that. Yes, Christians get just as rotten very often as the rest of the world does. But when we get rotten and retaliate, we are in fact acting worse than the world because we are being watched far more carefully because of what we claim. And we are being watched far more carefully because even though the majority of people around the world want nothing to do with God or the Bible, many, many people know very well what God's Word says. And when we as Christians do not follow that and what God tells us to do, we are subjected to even harsher ridicule, and very rightly so. Here we read that we are to extend the very same character that God extends to us with every person who persecutes us. And this is definitely a blessing we underrate. And we underrate it because we don't like the idea of it. And so we rate it at the bottom. It's something we definitely would not recommend to our friends and neighbors. Many of us have been asked to take surveys after we interact with a company online, and it seems as though every time I call about insurance or a credit card or Apple tech support, I get a survey emailed to me. How did we do? On a scale of 1 to 10, how likely are you to recommend us to a friend? 1 being not at all, 10 being I would recommend to a friend, definitely. And when we read a passage as we have, bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse them, we would likely give this a rating of 1, not recommended. But that is the exact opposite rating God has called us to select. However, God knows this about us and knows it is very hard to bless someone who is not in favor of us and going against what we believe to be true. How about Matthew 5:46? For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same thing? And this is exactly what we need to remember. If you bless those who bless you, what good is that? That's easy. Anyone can do that. But you say the passage you pulled from Matthew here is about loving, not blessing. But it is all about blessing. Because if you do not love someone, you cannot and will not bless them. And the only reason God blesses us is because He loves us. So blessings are all about loving, and loving is all about blessing. Bless those who persecute you. In other words, love those who persecute you. Do we not know and do we not remember that love is the name of the game in everything we do and say? Did Jesus Himself not say, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you, so also you are to love one another"? By this, all people will know that you are My disciples, if you have love for one another. John 13:34-35. Do you see? We bless others by our love. Our sincere love is an incredible blessing to others. And Jesus loves us so much that he died for us. What a blessing. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians 3:12. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, as we do for you. And what about 1 Timothy 5 to accompany that? The aim of our charge is love that issues from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. And that attitude, living to the best of our abilities like that, is a blessing to everyone that we encounter, and it is a blessing that lasts. So before we can bless people, even the people we claim to love, we need to first know how to love sincerely, genuinely, and have the love of Christ in us. And when we have a true and grounded understanding of godly love, we will bless those who hate us. Are you a Christian who believes you can persecute others because they don't agree with you? Just remember, if you dish it out, you better be ready to have it dished back. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Believer, you are not exempt from that. Remember our definition of a blessing? It is to invoke, put into action on behalf of that other person, the favor and protection from God. We are called to go to God on behalf of the people who hate us. We are to ask God to give us the grace and humility and love them. Let's look at Romans 12:19 through 21. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, "It is mine to avenge. I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Do not retaliate or persecute anyone. That is God's job alone. He doesn't need your attitude to take care of things. In other words, God is telling us to mind our own business and take care of the things that we need to take care of, and he will take care of the things that he needs to take care of. And here's why we are to follow this example. Yes, it is because God told us to, but also because he lived it out as an example for us. How about Romans 5:8? But God shows his love for us even in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God blessed us while we were still rotten, hideous, haters of him. And he blessed us because he loved us first and loved us so much. We have two options. We love or we hate. We bless or we curse. There is no halfway on this. We like to believe there is, though, but that is not how it works. God is not a God of halfway or lukewarm people. God hates lukewarm people. Let's get more clarification on that from Luke 6:27 through 29. It also pertains to not being able to give lukewarm blessings. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. To one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. This is pretty definitive. Love, do good, bless, and pray for those who hate you, curse you, and abuse you. Again, blessing those who curse you is exactly what Christ did for us when we cursed him. Loving your enemies is exactly what Christ did for us when we were his enemy. And doing good to people who hate us is exactly what Christ did for us when we hated him and abused him. But perhaps you say, well, I never hated God, I never cursed God, and I never saw him as an enemy. Oh no? Then I strongly encourage you to rethink that response. Matthew 12:30, whoever is not with me or for me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. Jesus says here, if you have not accepted me, fully God, fully man, as Lord and Savior, you are my enemy, you hate me, and you are cursing me. You are indicating you want nothing to do with me. And until you come to me and request a relationship, there is nothing between us. And until we are in a proper relationship with God, he will not bless us, and we are incapable of petitioning God to bless others through us. Let's look at Malachi 3:10. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you, what? A blessing until there is no more need. There is a very interesting dynamic here. If we bring the full tithe, the whole thing, not part, God will pour down on us a one blessing until there is no more need. When we give Him our all, He gives us His all. Notice the final word here in our passage. God says He will pour down on us a blessing, not blessings, one blessing, the blessing of all blessings. And that blessing of all blessings is salvation in Jesus Christ. And that blessing of all blessings is the abundance of all the blessings combined. And this takes us to a list of passages that shows how incredibly blessed we are when we are walking with the Lord. Let's start with Matthew 5:9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Psalm 1:1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. James 1:12. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love Him. Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. And how about this one to tie all these together? Psalm 34:8. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him. So what are these five verses telling us? Essentially, God is showing us great favor when we are a peacemaker, when we don't take counsel from the wicked or attempt to stop and stand in the way of those people and hang around scoffers that mock God. Then we see that God finds favor in us when we remain steadfast or firm and unwavering with God, when we are under trial by the very people who hate God and mock God and hate us and mock us. We are blessed when we are not afraid to tell anyone who attempts to dissuade us from doubting what we believe to be absolute truth on who God says He is. And our passage from Ephesians is telling us that we revere God and honor God and know that He is a blessing to us. And that because He blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing. So how many spiritual blessings are coming your way? Every. And can you imagine getting every kind of spiritual blessing as we plod along in this life? Well, you are. We just don't pay attention to many of them. Worth repeating, the very gift, the very opportunity of having a Savior in Jesus Christ and eternity with God and Christ in heaven is a blessing that cannot be comprehended. And because it is something we live with day in and day out, we neglect recognizing it as a blessing, the blessing above all blessings. And if you feel you are not being blessed by God, you don't feel blessings are coming your way, then I would recommend you go to God and get very real with Him about where you stand with Him. Because God is ready to bless you abundantly with all kinds of blessings. And He is not interested in holding back on you if you are ready and in the right place to receive those blessings. Proverbs 10:22. The blessing of the Lord makes rich, and He adds no sorrow with it. What is this telling us? All the blessings that come from the Lord are so very valuable, and all of God's blessings come with pure joy. And again, the only reason, because He loves us and desires nothing more than us being a blessing to others. Let's close with this. Jeremiah 17:7-8. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. They are like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green, and it is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. What a blessing that is. Are you experiencing this? Do you live under this blessing every day? Are you always bearing fruit and unafraid when the world turns up the heat? This tree is not retaliating because it's hot. It stays steadfast and trusts, and so it continues to grow. And everyone sees that. And that tree serves as an example as it towers over the landscape as a blessing. Are blessings something you desire to both receive and give away? Then look no further than a relationship with Jesus Christ and receive the blessing of all blessings. Thank you.